in order that the first Vitaphone subjects could be made at all, the camera had to be placed in a big soundproof housing. This is naturally very cumbersome. You couldn't move the camera about. You couldn't push a house around the stage. And also, since one of the requirements of the recording system was that a sequence had to be 10 minutes in length, which was the length of a 16-inch record, because there was no such thing as editing sound in those early days, the cameraman was locked up in that booth for 10 minutes at a time with no ventilation, and it was just a solid wall box with a double plate glass window in the front of it to shoot through. The double glass surfaces, of course, helped to deteriorate photographic quality and definition, sharpness. And it was very tough on the cameraman to sit in there, particularly if he had an assistant. There were two of them locked up. The microphones had to be closely coupled to the first amplifier in the amplification chain. And these amplifiers had a vacuum tube in them that was a vacuum tube normally used in telephone circuits. And it was quite microphonic, so that if you touched this box that they were in, you got a boom, boom out of the microphone itself. So the microphone was generally suspended from ropes and couldn't be moved. So the actors had to walk to the microphone, and the camera couldn't dolly, couldn't pan, because it was in this big wooden soundproof housing. These cameras, subjects were shot probably with two or three cameras housed in these booths, covering different camera angles. And the whole result was, you saw people talk in synchronism with the picture, heard them talk in synchronism with the picture, but the action was very static, nobody could move around. So one of the first problems, of course, was to get the camera out of the booth. The obvious solution to that was to build some kind of a soundproof housing against the camera and not soundproof the cameraman. And that was the start of what's known as the camera blimp. Now, the first camera blimps, the first attempt was made by Warner Brothers in early 1929 to build a camera blimp. Then something had to be done to release the actor from having to walk to fixed positions to microphones. And all kinds of tricks were resorted to hide microphones on the set. The microphone had to hang, and say it was in a room that was wallpapered, then the prop man or the set decorator, somebody, would put a strip of the same kind of paper over the front of the microphone, and then had to be lit so it would blend into the background. And the microphones were faked into the old telephone stands or hidden behind furniture, anything where you can hide a microphone so it wouldn't be seen.
Was this still with the vacuum tube?
Yeah. Now, the next thing was to get improved vacuum tubes, which we got from the Bell Labs, which were not microphonic. And this square box-like container for this little amplifier was changed to a metal cylinder. And it was changed to that shape so you could put a clamp around it and suspend it from one rope instead of three and push it around with the pole. That was the first effort at moving, and it gave you a certain amount of limited freedom. The next effort was to get rid of the rope hanging and the pulley that was taken to pull it up and down and the pole that pushed it around and put the microphone on the end of a boom. Now, in order to keep the microphone so that you could cover a set and keep it out of the camera, this boom had to extend 10 or 15 feet. And with the weight of that microphone, which was pretty heavy, and the weight of that metal container of the amplifier at the end of it, it would sag and just float up and down. So the next step was to reduce the weight of the microphone and to separate it from its amplifier. so the amplifier could be located at the base of the boom and run a cord from the amplifier out to the microphone and then boom. And then a boom became practical. The next step in the development of microphones was to make them directional, because we still had noise problems. In those days, all the lighting was done with arc lights. An arc light is noisy. And films were slow speed. So a lot of light had to be poured into a set. And one way of cutting down the noise level was to have a directional microphone. And RCA and the West Electric Company both developed highly directional microphones. The boom man had to be more skillful in that he had to point these directional microphones to the whoever was speaking, and if you had two or three people, he had to practically memorize the dialogue as well as the actors, so they had the microphone to the right person at the right time. Otherwise, somebody would sound off stage if they're on the back of a directional microphone.
When you were talking about the camera blimp in 1929, coincidentally, that's the year of quite a few big musicals at Warner Brothers. Desert Song, Gold Diggers of Broadway, Show of Shows. And were you involved?
I sure was. All of them. And I was scoring mixer, production mixer, and the whole thing on those shows, because there was no pre-scoring to begin with. Mm-hmm. And if I was assigned to a picture that was a musical, I went through the whole caboodle.